Thank you for joining us for the University of Illinois Press podcast. I am your host, Elizabeth Hess. I am joined today by Dr. Aisha Hardison, an associate professor of the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences and Studies at the University of Kansas, as well as the editor of the Journal of Women, Gender, and Families of Color. We are also talking with Dominique Moore, an acquisitions editor at the University of Illinois Press. We are talking today in anticipation of the upcoming African American Intellectual History Society conference. Thank you both for joining me today. Aisha, before we get started, can you give us a little bit of history on how you became editor of the Journal of Women, Gender, and Families of Color, and how have you seen the field change since you became editor?
The journal was established in 2012 by my colleague Jennifer Hamer at the University of Kansas. It was actually an expansion of its predecessor, Black Women, Gender, and Families. In my trajectory towards becoming editor of the journal, I reviewed for it, and then I did a guest edited issue with my colleague Randall Jelks about Black love. And this issue explored the topic from various contexts, including history, film, and relationship advice literature. So in 2019, Jennifer transitioned to the advisory editor of the journal, and then I became the journal's lead editor. It's hard for me to say how the field has changed in my year and a half of being editor because the COVID-19 pandemic has significantly shaped my time with the journal. But the journal is a venue for research about marginalized populations. And so our authors tend to explore ways to understand and combat systemic oppression. So I anticipate that the pandemic will inform future research that will feature in the journal. But I can already tell the ways in which the pandemic has impacted the production of research, so that journals are finding that women academics in particular, or academics with families, are submitting less manuscripts to journals. So the way in which I've seen it change in my time as editor, or change the field in my time as editor, are the increased conversations about how to change the structural inequalities in the field of publishing. So I'm thinking about efforts to create pipelines for younger scholars, or increasing submissions from academics of color, developing ethical editorial practices, and diversifying editorial boards.
Dom, you're new to your role at the University of Illinois. What topics and areas of study are you involved with at the press?
So the list areas I acquire in more generally are American ethnic studies, Black studies, and women, gender, and sexuality studies. Specifically, the series that I'm the sponsoring acquiring editor for are the Asian American experience, Black internationalism, dissident feminisms, global studies of the United States, Latinos in Chicago and the Midwest, and the new Black Studies series, Transformations, which is about womanist, feminist, and indigenous studies, and then women, gender, and sexuality in American history. And I find that already I'm finding that there's quite a bit of overlap in all those series and those list areas.
Aisha, as we approach this year's conference, what do you anticipate as a few key areas that will receive a lot of focus?
I noticed that the conference keynotes are Reverend Kelly and Taya Miles, and so I anticipate with their research, as well as the conference theme, the West, that there will be a lot of provocative connections between geography and location, history, and various kinds of narratives. I notice a lot of panels discussing filmmaking. I find that really interesting and exciting about the content or the focus of the conference, as well as these moments highlighting several new authors. So new books about Black women's movements and wedding rituals. And so I find those exciting because those are very much in line and speak to the purview of the journal.
Dom, I'll ask you the same question. Do you think there are areas on your list with an interdisciplinary focus that are also served by this meeting?
The one that most particularly comes to mind is our Black internationalism series, which was started in the last 2 or 3 years, where the series editors are Keisha Blaine and Keto Salon. I just got to meet with them, and we're all super excited to really look at Blackness in a new way that's not really being done. We spoke really in particular about scholars not having a house for their work that, again, speaks not just to diaspora or doesn't speak to African-American identity, but is really thinking through and grappling through Blackness as it transcends national borders and speaks, and Black people get to speak to each other in a transnational way. So any work that really talks with and grapples with that idea, we are always looking for.
Thank you, Dom. Aisha, let's focus back on the journal for a second. Going forward, what are your goals for the journal?
My goals for the journal are to maintain the esteemed legacy of my predecessor, Jennifer Hamer. I really or intend to sustain the journal as a venue for multidisciplinary and interdisciplinary research. And I think that's exemplified by our recent issue that looks at archived media analysis and ethnography, focusing on migrant communities and organizations. So the journal has explored how women and children and families have historically borne the brunt of local, state, national, and global austerity measures. And so I think in our current time, age of COVID-19 and migration and Black Lives Matter, the intellectual work of the journal is still very necessary and timely. In the past, we did a special issue on Trump's America, and we might need to revisit the topic now that we are post his presidency. But more specifically, looking forward to the future of the journal, I'm excited about deepening our disciplinary coverage in the humanities and social sciences, expanding our geographic coverage, exploring the digital humanities and topics like health and aging, as well as examining the academy itself, as well as our professional fields and the ways in which gender, sexuality, and family impact those. We're already beginning to do this with upcoming issues on the graduate student of color experience, as well as a double issue centered on the Caribbean. In addition, we brought a new book review editor on board, Adrian Dixon. So we're looking forward to providing new opportunities for both younger and advanced scholars to undertake book reviews in new formats like the review essay or review symposium. And finally, we're coming up on our 10-year anniversary. So I look forward to celebrating that achievement in terms of planning a review of our own intellectual history, but also projecting new directions for our intersectional fields.
That dovetails nicely into my next question for Dom. If prospective authors want to get your attention, what are the topics in which you are most interested in acquiring?
The topics that immediately come to mind would be anything in trans studies, but particularly products that grapple with trans childhood, which I don't think there's a lot out as far as what's been published. And then anything about the sex work industry. Yeah, I would say anything about the sex work industry really piques my interest. However, I think more generally in terms of race, I'm really interested in seeing how the internet and social media has really made the world more accessible in a way that it just wasn't prior to the proliferation really of social media. And so in doing that, I'm interested in research that complicates our notions of Asian, Black, and Latinx diasporas.
Aisha, in regards to this year's AAIHS conference, you've already touched on this a little bit, but what are some of the major themes that you expect to see?
What really stands out to me in regard to the conference program is the wide range of topics that the panels undertake. So things about or panels on archives and incarceration, education and resistance, health and artistic expression, I think all would dovetail nicely with the scope and the interests of the journal. There seems to be a lot of opportunities for intellectual exchange. The conversations between authors and engaged readers seem like they will be really fascinating dialogues. And as editor of Women, Gender, and Families of Color, I'm really looking forward to the conference papers that will become journal articles, or to see the kind of work inspired by these engaging conversations facilitated by the conference. So I really and truly and sincerely invite authors to submit their work to the journal. And for those who are interested in guest editing, I look forward to any proposals that will help recreate the conversations at the conference within the journal pages.
Dom, you're new to the University of Illinois Press, but not new to publishing in general. What do you think will be different about this year's AAIHS conference, other than the fact that we're not in person?
And if I'm not mistaken, I want to say AAIHS was one of the last conferences that met in person right before national quarantine went into effect. So kind of seeing the stark difference between this last year and this year, I'm interested to see just how the organization in general responds to that and being able to see a lot of the book discussions. I want to say there is a film viewing that's happening and kind of conversations with the filmmakers. Seems like a very interesting way to engage with scholarship and engage with the research topics in a way that is going to change the types of conversations that we'll have at the conferences. But I think one of the most positive impacts of all of this has been that of accessibility. I think just by being online, many more scholars and professionals are able to attend and engage with the panels. Unfortunately, the social aspect of conferences has more or less disappeared outside of Twitter, of course, but that's not specific to this conference. And moreover, I'm not too sure if person-to-person contact can or should be honestly and realistically replicated. Speaking from a personal sense, I'm super excited to actually be able to see many of the conference panels, which as an editor who's usually working the booth, isn't able to go to those. And so being able to see the conversations that are actually happening outside of just reading the program gives me, of course, a ton of information about really what's hot in the field and moreover the types of research that I could be looking for in the upcoming years to come when those journal articles hopefully become book chapters.
Aisha, it's been about a year now since everything shut down. How long did it take you to get comfortable and interact with your students online and really understand that this was the new normal?
Given that we're still in the pandemic, so I'm still in the moment in many ways, I haven't thought reflectively about the entire experience because I haven't had any distance from it. We're still making changes and making adjustments, even though there has been a shift in our information about the pandemic and there is now a vaccine. But in many ways, I still feel in the moment of the pandemic. I don't think it was hard to make connections with students. I think as a professor, our first kind of impetus is to think about our students and to make sure they're okay and being aware as an individual professor, but also the values that we hold in regard to teaching in my departments of English and women, gender, and sexuality studies, but also in terms of the university's mission is to think about the student holistically. So think about their education, but also their wellness. And I think that was taken very seriously and done very intentionally. And so I think connecting with the students and not in the ways that we were traditionally used to was a high priority for us. But it did take some time to learn those formats and imagine and restructure how to recreate the magic, so to speak, of discussion, for example, as a literature professor. But one thing that I noticed in regard to my field, it was an opportunity to connect so that students were reading more, for example, or engaging in culture more in ways that helped them manage the pandemic and that became resources and opportunities to continue to connect with peers, even though we weren't in person.
One more follow-up for that. You mentioned that you were trying to fill the shoes of your predecessor, but you've now made it your own. Do you see what's happening in politics, what's happening in the world, that this is now the perfect time for you to take over and put your own personal stamp on this journal?
I do think current events have provided an opportunity for me to make the journal my own. Although in some ways, my plan is to expand the strengths of the journal, I think current times demand new directions and new methods. And I think in response to that, I am excited to learn and to be open in the opportunity it provides or encourages or kind of pushes us to be visionary in various ways. And so I think that's what the possibilities of a journal to respond to a historical moment in an immediate fashion, but also to be shaped by its authors, as well as its editorial boards and reviewers, I think is an exciting moment to step into the leadership of a journal.
Dom, you came on board to the University of Illinois Press partly because of your experience, partly because you're very dynamic and we want you to be representing us at conferences. Now that you are stuck in-house, what are ways that you're going to connect with authors?
I always say I love to have author meetings. Hour-long author meeting usually becomes 3 hours when talking with me because we end up just talking about everything. I'll say most of my meetings become 2 to 3 hour endeavors. And I'm learning how to engage with the beast that is Twitter again. Yeah, I think this is my third Twitter. I oftentimes lose a lot of time in it when I dedicate myself to it. But now, especially given the state of affairs in the world, I think that it is important to engage in a very public-facing way. And in addition to that, I think it's important for authors to know where individual editors stand on many issues. So this whole idea of really being able to ask of your editor, like, who are you? And what do you believe in? And what do you stand for? I think is really important because I think that in many ways it shapes how editors acquire. And so I hope I'm able to translate some of that dynamicism to the new world that we find ourselves in. But I don't know, let's visit that when we get to a year and see if I've had any success.
Dom, I know that you're very active on Twitter and social media is a great place to get in touch with you, but what are other ways that people can reach you?
I can always be reached by email either at my Illinois address, which is moore53@uillinois.edu, or I can be reached at domtheeditor@outlook.com. And that's also my handle on Twitter, which is domtheeditor. You'll probably get a quicker response from me if you actually reach out to me via Twitter.
Aisha, where's the best place to reach you, or what are some of the places that people can find you on the internet?
The Journal has a website. It's womengenderandfamilies.ku.edu. And we also established our Twitter handle recently, which is WGFC Journal.
The latest volume of the Journal of Women, Gender, and Families of Color is available online at www.press.uillinois.edu. Dr. Aisha Hardison and Dominique Moore, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Really excited to talk.